ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Shri Mata Pai Chaitanya Vrindavan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Jai Om Shripad Paramahamsa Paribrahmi Kachatra Stotra Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavendra Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prems Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Navdeep Dham Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi Ki Jai. Sambeda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sacramento Yatra Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to some devotees. Go Premanande Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Today's verse is number 12. And how many of you have a Bhagavad Gita with you? One? Anybody else? With you right now. There's one thing I'll just... You don't have to pull it out now, but at some point I'd like to chant one chapter together. So that counts. If you have it on your phone, it counts. Do you all have it on your phone? Okay, that's good. Just so we can pull it up. Okay, great. So, do you also have this verse on your phone? Okay, so that's 7:3:12. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidhatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidhatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Would anyone else like to chant? Who has it available? Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidhatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha vidatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshvara. Iti shushruma nirbandham tapa paramam astitaha
Vidatsvanantaram yuktam. Iti, in this way. Shushruma, we've heard. Nirbantam, strong determination. Tapaha, austerity. Paramam, very severe. Astitaha, is situated in. Vidatsva, please take steps. Anantaram, as soon as possible. Yuktam, befitting. Swayam, yourself. Tribhuvana Ishvara, O Master of the Three Worlds. Translation, O Lord, I'll just say it and then we'll do it all together. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. So these are the demigods speaking to Lord Brahma in the context that Hiranyakashipu had taken to a course of severe austerities in order to gain power, and his objective was to take over the whole universe, including the post of Brahma. So let's all say, please repeat. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In the material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history, especially in India. During the Mohammedan rule, many servants, by plans and devices, took over the posts of their masters. It is learned from Chaitanya literature that one big zamindar, Subhuti Roy, kept a Mohammedan boy as a servant. Of course, he treated the boy as his own child, and sometimes when the boy would steal something, the master would chastise him by striking him with a cane. There was a mark on the boy's back from his chastisement. Later after that, the boy had by crooked means become Hussein Shah, Nawab of Bengal. One day his wife saw the mark on his back and inquired about it. The Nawab replied that in his childhood he had been a servant of Subhuti Roy, who had punished him because of some mischievous activities. Upon hearing this, the Nawab's wife immediately became agitated and requested her husband to kill Subhuti Roy. Nawab Hussein Shah, of course, was very grateful to Subhuti Roy and therefore refused to kill him. But when his wife requested him to turn Subhuti Roy into a Mohammedan, the Nawab agreed. Taking some water from his water pot, he sprinkled it upon Subhuti Roy and declared that Subhuti Roy had now become a Mohammedan. The point is that the Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subhuti Roy, but was somehow or other able to occupy the supreme post of Nawab of Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is servant of his senses. Following this system, a living entity, although servant of his senses, tries to become master of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu was a typical example of this, and Brahma was informed by the demigods of his intentions. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Gopremanande Haribo. It's a great honor to be here in this Krishna conscious house, which is non different from a temple, and to be with all of you, Vaishnavas. Because you're all very dear to Lord Krishna, as you've dedicated your lives to serving him. And we're fortunate to be here together because human life is meant for this. It's meant to take opportunities to sit together and hear about Krishna. This is the process through which anyone can get an upgrade in their life. You all like to get upgrades, right? Everyone likes upgrades. It's on the mind of most people, and it doesn't take much to satisfy people. I see with the airlines, they have several lines you can wait in before you get on the plane. And for the first class, they put a little plastic red carpet, and everyone feels like, okay, I feel better about myself now. I get to walk down this side. You guys stay over there. And everyone... You get a little larger seat and so forth. Of course, with upgrades on the airlines, you can be one of their premier flyers for some time. But if you skip a year, then as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shinye Punyan Matyalokam Vishanti, even compared to those who accumulate great pious credits through karmakanda activities, they can elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. But after they use them up, they fall back down again in rather unceremonious ways. Similarly, the airlines will then treat you as a normal customer again after you lose your status. And this is a problem in the material world, that although I may work very hard to gain some status here and to get some upgrade, eventually I'll lose it, and therefore everyone's afraid. I think that I've gotten this far. Maybe people accumulate a lot of money. That's a kind of way of upgrading one's life. But then after some time, the money leaks out one way or the other. The government might say, you know, you made a mistake and you owe us most of it. Or your uncle might call and say, listen, I have throat cancer and there's nobody else in the world that can help pay up. You know, you better give it to me. According to the circumstances, we always lose our upgrades here in the material world. Of course, those who are determined, like Hiranyakashipu, who dedicated his life to trying to get the highest level of material prosperity, which was to be immortal, such people are very determined, and we see that this is the primary goal of those who have a materialistic worldview. And that's mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj. He calls it a Grihavrata. Griha means a place of comfort and upgrades, many upgrades as one can get, and vrata means a vow. So those, he says, who have made a vow to keep themselves materially comfortable will not be interested in devotional service. And again, they'll try for getting a comfortable situation in the material world. But it's not to be, because it's a topsy-turvy place, the material world. No matter what we get here, eventually we'll be lost in the course of time. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj mentions in his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev, of course, as all of us know, Nrisingadev came after Hiranyakashipu had made himself such an insufferable type of person. He had gotten so much power from his austerities, and then he used it to harass others and to enjoy material life as much as possible, and in the process he offended a lot of people. The demigods were praying for his demise. That's never good for one's longevity. When you offend others, they may become angry with you. And within a moment, he lost it all, didn't he? Hiranyakashipu was so convinced that he had a stable position in the material world that he challenged the authority of God. This is the height of hubris, that he thought, you know, nobody is more powerful than me. And therefore, when his little son, Prahlad, said that God is everywhere and he's the one who's the source of our power, he's the one who's providing us any kind of upgrade we get, it's eventually, ultimately coming from him, Prahlad was telling his father. And his father felt like he was a self-made person. I did this. I got this. What are you telling me for? This is the kind of self-centeredness that one develops in material life. But then when he challenged his son and threatened to kill him, and he asked Prahlad, who was claiming that the Lord is everywhere, he's all-pervading, and that Prahlad said, I see him everywhere, Hiranyakashipu challenged, is he in this pillar? He had already tried to kill Prahlad, but now he was determined to do it by his own hand, and he drew his sword. And at that point, when Prahlad was asked by his father, is your God in this pillar? And he said, yes, because Prahlad actually saw Krishna everywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu challenged, and he pounded the pillar with his fist, and then he heard a blood-curdling, growling noise that came out, roaring from the pillar. It was a sound that affected everybody in the whole universe. Only God can do this. And then, as if bursting from the pillar, in fact, he did burst from the pillar, because Krishna can come from anywhere. In fact, we know at the beginning of creation, when Brahma, she has a lot of responsibility. It's hard taking responsibility for managing things. What to speak of the whole universe? What to speak of when it's just getting started? There's a lot of anomalies. And he was contemplating, well, how am I going to deal with all these things? Then the Lord appeared from his nostril. You know this, right? He came out as Varaha. And Brahma was sitting, contemplating how to fix these problems and praying to the Lord. And the Lord appeared from his nostril and began flying around the universe. So if you ever have problems in managing your household or your life, what you do is you sit down and you pray to the Lord. What do I do now? And he may appear from any direction. That's his prerogative. But he's there. Anantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. Ekopyasora charitam jagaranda kotim yat shakti rasti jagaranda chayayaranta. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamari purusham mahambhajan. Sri Brahma Samhita states that Krishna is there within every atom. He knows our very psychic movements. He's aware of the way we're thinking, the way we're desiring, and so forth. Just as much as one who is in proximity of a flower can smell the scent of the flower, he can smell the quality of our desires and so forth. And he says in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyataham aham prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. He says, I reciprocate in kind. He's there simply to fulfill the desire of every living entity. Sapari gachchukram akayam avranam ashnaviram shudam apapaviram kaviram anishi paribhu swayambur yatat yatator tan viradash shasvati bhya samabhya. The Sri Upanishad says that the Lord is the one who's omniscient, he's beyond the material world, and he's fulfilling the desire of every living entity at every moment. So, when Hiranyakashipu struck that pillar, the Lord actually appeared. And he killed Hiranyakashipu without any trouble at all. So, Prahlad, as I was mentioning, then prayed that why would I want any upgrades in the material world? He said, because I can see that they can be taken away at any moment. And crazy things happen in the material world. People don't know that if you mistreat somebody, that person might be your CEO a couple of years later. You walk in for the interview and it's like, oh, that's the guy I cut off in the parking lot. I thought he was just a kid, but actually now he's my boss. These things happen by the law of karma. What's down becomes up and what's up becomes down. And therefore, those who have this perspective, they understand that the only valuable upgrade is the upgrade to my service to the Lord. If I can upgrade the quality of the way in which I serve Krishna and the devotees, this is a permanent asset. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha bikramanasho sti pratyavayo navidite svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Said, when you do some valuable service for the Supreme Personality of God, for me, he said, then that kind of service is never lost. It goes in your permanent asset column. The assets we get in the material world are inevitably lost, but the kind of assets we get from doing devotional service, intentionally or unintentionally, either way, those are permanent. In fact, Prabhupada described that every living entity has a bank account in their heart. You carry that with you eternally. And every time you do some devotional service, you get a deposit in the bank account. The Brihat Naradiya Purana describes a verse quoted in the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when you get enough accumulation, you have enough venture capital there within your spiritual bank account in your heart, then what do you get? Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. We translate it as faith. And the word shrad means heart. And dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. So we all have a way that we are determined in life, and that where we have some cause, some idea that we give our heart to. Some people give their heart to their work, or they think that if I just get enough money, or they give their heart, some people give their hearts to their country. There was a professional football player in America, very promising career, but after 9/11, he said, I'm going to go to Iraq and fight against terrorism. And he went there and he was killed. Actually, ironically, he was killed by friendly fire. It was an accident. Somebody on his own team from the United States of America, when they were fighting in some battle, they accidentally shot him and he died. This is the topsy-turviness in the material world. But his heart was definitely in it. He was considered a patriot. So some people, they'll die for the flag. So this is called Shraddha, and Krishna describes in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, everybody has some kind of Shraddha. In fact, he said that a living entity is made of his Shraddha. The Shraddha is what actually makes us who we are. And according to the various modes of material nature that we may be affected by, we'll have that kind of faith in certain things. But pure faith means to have implicit faith in Krishna and Krishna's representative. So this Shraddha is described also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe surudanaschoy Krishna bhakti kola sarva karma krita hoy. Pure Shraddha means an increasing feeling that by doing devotional service, by gaining that kind of asset in my life, then I complete all other work. Sarva karma krita hoy. There's a lot of karmas that we have to do, a lot of obligations that we have naturally when we're born in this world, isn't it? We have debts to everybody. In fact, this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhutapna nirnam pitrinam na kinkoro nayam rani charajan. It states, Bhagavatam says that when you are born, you have debts to pay. When you come out of the womb, you're not debt-free. Did you know that? That's why, you know, parents are waiting for the child to come out and they're already saving up for the child to have a little college fund. Why? Because when the little child comes out, say, you know, Shniki, you're going to have to go to school. because you've got debts to pay. You're going to have to pay the world back. You owe so much. So the first, when the child comes out of the womb, you say, it's clean slate, debt-free. No, not so fast. There's a debt. Deva. You owe the devas. They've given you so much. Just like your electric company. They keep giving you electricity. You say, yeah, this is nice. And then at the end of the month, what do you get? A bill. A little window letter. And it says, you know, you owe us money for that. It's like, who left the lights on so long? How much heat are we using here? There's always debts to pay. Deva and then the rishis. They give their whole lives so much sacrifice to put the knowledge down. The other day, I was at Google and I gave a talk there and I brought with me an original scroll, written, handwritten scroll on palm leaves. And I showed it to everybody. They were amazed just to see the fineness of the handwriting and the intricacy and how much patience someone must have had to write that one scroll. It probably took weeks or months to write one scroll. We may take it for granted now. We have high-speed printing. We have Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And you just like, it's just the Gita. But this is the painstaking work of great rishis. Deva, rishi, bhutata. There's all kinds of living entities that serve us all the time. We never thank them. They're like cows. They give milk all the time. And nowadays, people are so ungrateful. After the cow stops giving milk, they just send it away. And I won't even comment more about that. And then there's all kinds of forefathers, like people all the time, they get inheritance from their parents. What to speak of the trouble the parent takes to raise us. And then a child turns 16, they say, see you later, pops, you know, I gotta go. You never did anything for me. It's like, what? What a shock. So all this, we have debt. We're not coming into the world clean. And these debts, he says in this verse, can only be paid back if one becomes a devotee. You can't pay them back individually. It's not possible. In fact, we have so much karma from our previous lives. Two kinds of karma we have. One's called prarabdha. That means our manifest body now, where we're experiencing the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are we not? Do you experience the good, the bad, and the ugly in this life? This is from our previous karma. And then there's aprarabdha karma, which means all the karma that's stored up after uncountable lifetimes. And it's so much that, Hare Krishna, it's so much that you can't experience it all in one lifetime. You can't experience it all in a million lifetimes. It's stored up for you for a time immemorial to go on experiencing this karma. So, Devarshi Bhutatna Nrinam Pitrinam Na Kinkaro Nayam Nani Charajan Saravat Marayam Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihrita Kartam. Bhagavatam says the only way to cut all this karma is if you surrender to Govinda. You give your life and you say, I can't handle it, I declare bankruptcy. I put myself at your mercy. This is the awareness of that is described as Shraddha. Shraddha, Shabde, Vishwas, Kahe. It means Vishwas. It's a very strong feeling that arises within the heart of a person. Vishwas, Kahe, Sudrida, Nishchoy, Krishna, Bhakti. Krishna bhakti, that by doing Krishna bhakti, then not only is my karma diminished, this is mentioned in many shastras. Padma Purana says, aprarabdha palam papam kutam bijam palam mukam krama inaiva priliyante vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. that by doing bhakti to Vishnu, service for service, you're just serving Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, then all your karmas are destroyed. And which kind of karmas? Not just your past karmas, but also your present karmas. Your body changes. You no longer have a material body. But when you surrender to Krishna, you get a new kind of body. This is called a sadaka deha, a servitor's body. And you're transforming yourself. So somebody who's gaining this kind of, this shraddha, thinks material life is very risky. Because I don't know what's going to happen. No matter what kind of good work I do in this world, it's always going to be mixed with something else. Somehow there'll be a misunderstanding. Like in the Krishna book, Krishna, there's a story about King Nriga. And Nriga was a very powerful king. He had unlimited wealth. And he thought, let me use this for my highest good here in the material world in order to get the best result possible. And he knew the laws of nature. He was not unacquainted with the ways of material nature and how the three modes of material nature work. The Karmakandis, of which he was one, are very much aware of the fact that if you follow scriptural injunctions, you can get an upgrade in the material world. And their idea is to always keep upgrading and just stay in the material world, but stay up in an upgraded situation. You stay in heaven. Let's move up a little bit because some of the bhaktas in the back are being jammed a little. So King Nriga, you all with me on this? Let me start over. Once upon a time, there was a king. His name was Nriga. What was his name? King Nriga thought, I'm going to do so much punya that I'll just be able to swim in that for eternity. So he started a campaign to do good. And that was that he had beautiful cows and he would give them in charity to the most qualified brahmanas. And these cows were decorated. He put gold on their horns and their hooves. He put all kinds of jewels around them. And these are not ordinary cows. These are the best of all cows. And they were pregnant. So they were ready to give birth, and they were already giving milk. And then he would find the best of brahmanas, and he would give away not just one or two cows, but tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of cows in charity to these brahmins. The kind of punya that you get from doing these types of things is inestimable. You can read in the various Karmakanda Shastras about the kind of pious credits you get from doing this, the kind of upgrade that's waiting for you, the frequent flyer miles you get. It's like you have a United card and you've got 10 billion miles. I sat next to Peter Burwasher a couple times on the flight. He travels more than anybody I know in the world. And his cards, he was showing me from the different airlines. He had 5 million miles on United. Another 5 million miles on Delta. I mean, how do you do that? And anyway, this was Nriga's intention, to rack up these kind of frequent flyer miles and get the not just the platinum card, but what's beyond that, beyond the platinum card. So giving away cows, charity, and then one day there was a mistake. He gave away to one Brahmin a whole herd of cows, and then one of the cows, just as cows happen to do, meandered back into King Nriga's herd. And then he gave it away to another Brahmin. Now the first Brahmin said, hey, wait a minute, that was my cow. And the other Brahmin he just gave and says, you know what you're talking about, that's my cow. He gave it to me. It's like, no, he gave it to me. Back and forth, they argued, who ended up getting the short end of the stick? Nriga. He made a mistake. And this is the problem with Karmakanda and the path of Jnanakanda. If you depend on your own power to manipulate the material nature to get an upgrade, and you make a mistake, it's all on you. What happened to Nriga? In his next life, he took birth as a lizard. He ended up at the bottom of a well, a dry well. This was not unknown to Krishna, of course, because this king was actually dear to him. So Krishna's grandchildren went there and they were playing around and they saw this lizard. They thought, let's help him. Let's bring him out of the well. And they couldn't reach him, so they went and got there. They got Krishna, who came there, and pulled him out of the well. And then, by his touch, the king came back to his original form and told his whole story about this. And so, this is one of the lessons that Krishna teaches us, that throughout the Bhagavatam we find kings who have all facility to make comfortable arrangements in the material world, and something will go wrong, and we'll lose everything. In fact, our acharyas comment that one of the reasons we hear about kings most frequently is because everyone wants to be a king. That's why nowadays when we see the suburbs, suburbs means everyone wants the same facility as a king. As kings, back in those days, you know, people would live a very simple life. With the king, they would have special heat in their house. They'd have an arrangement, people fan them during the winter time, during the summertime to stay cool. And all the kinds of things we all have now, we take for granted. It all just come naturally, because everyone wants to live like a king in the material world, and with no end to it all. And so the Bhagavatam shows how even in the best of circumstances, things will go wrong. So therefore, a person who is developing this Shraddha, faith, begins to think material life is a little risky. In fact, it's a lot risky. I don't even know how risky it is. But spiritual life is not risky at all, because it's backed by Krishna. The more I surrender to Krishna and depend on him, then I feel I don't have any risk at all in my life. Now, the opposite is true. Those who are materialists, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. There's two kinds of people. One's asleep to spiritual life, but awake to material life. The other one's he's asleep to spiritual life, awake to material life. The other one's asleep to material life and awake to spiritual life. Did we get that all right? So what happens is, and I experienced this one time when I was reading this verse, and in Los Angeles, I was going to Mangalartik. I was living near the New Dwarka Temple. It was about 3:30 in the morning. I was walking down Mangalartik on a Sunday morning. That's after a Saturday night in Los Angeles. So as I was walking down the street, I saw a group of revelers who were coming back from a wild Saturday night. They were just going home. They were heading home. They were thinking, okay, the night's winding up. I just woke up. I just took a shower. I just put on tilak. I was just starting off, 3:30 in the morning. And we crossed paths because I was walking down to the temple. They looked at me. I looked at them. They're like, what are you doing here? And I was thinking, what are you doing here? This is the juxtaposition of the spiritualists and the materialists. So the materialist is thinking that spiritual life is a big risk because I'll lose time to increase my stock of punya or money or safety in the material world. I can't lose time. That's for later. Maybe when I get really old, maybe in about 1 million years when I'm old, then I'll take to spiritual life. So he's thinking spiritual life's risky, and the spiritualist is thinking material life is very risky. So Shraddha means to understand that spiritual life is all gain and no risk, whereas material life is all risk and no gain. I'll say it again, all risk and no gain. Because after all, if you're given something and it's taken back, what is the use of it? Prabhupada used to say, he writes about this in the Upadeshamrita, the twists and turns of karma. A very wealthy man, and he works hard, and he gets a big house, an opulent lifestyle, and then he dies. And next life, because of the transgressions that he had to commit to get his wealth, he becomes a lowly cobbler in his next life. But it's in the same neighborhood. So now his sons that he carefully raised, they grow up, And they're living in the big house that he left. Now as a cobbler, he comes back and he's begging for business door to door. He comes to his previous house, previous sons, and they come out and they say, "What are you doing here? Go away, you dirty person." And they bring shoes out and they beat him and drive him away. And Prabhupada also gives the example that somebody invites you to their home and they say, "You come here, I'll give you everything. Television, you can watch television all day long. I have widescreen. And we'll give you ice cream. All the kinds of ice cream you want. Plus, we'll give you $1 million. Television, ice cream, $1 million. Okay. But the only thing, at the end of the day, we're going to take some shears and cut the cord of the television, so no more television. Plus, some men are going to come out from the back room. They're going to take the $1 million back, and they're going to beat you, throw you in a car, drive you down the freeway, we don't know where you are, and toss you out by the side of the road, and you won't even know where you came from." So Prabhupada said, this is material life. We come in, we have promised so many things, you get so much gain, you work very hard, that at the end, somebody comes out, beats you up. Material nature takes back everything that you had. Now you're put in a vehicle, you don't know where you're going, and you come back out of the womb, beaten, bloody, you don't even know where you are, and you just end up someplace. Could end up in Nebraska in your next life. And I wouldn't recommend that. Sorry for anybody in Nebraska. In Nebraska, they're born in some little family that has prejudice against the world, negative attitudes. You could end up there and find yourself in a forlorn, lost situation. And that is the forlorn, lost situation of the living entity who's trying to improve him or herself materially. It doesn't work out. So the Bhagavatam is telling us, put your investment in bhakti. Because if you worship Krishna, if you put your focus on serving Krishna, then you become the wealthiest type of person. And Prahlad Maharaj is the example of this, that he had no other concern in life except serving Krishna. In fact, he was so wealthy that when Nrisingadev, Bhagavan, obviously Bhagavan, everyone saw, this is Bhagavan, he's present now, asked Prahlad, said, "Now you take a benediction, I'm pleased with you." Prahlad said, "I don't need anything and I don't want anything. All I want is to serve you. That's all I want." And Bhagavan said, "No, you take something. That's what I give, you take." He said, "I don't want it. I'm not a merchant. I'm not a vanik. I'm not in this to get something in return. All I want is bhakti." This proves the wealth of bhakti. It's so satisfying to do service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the devotee doesn't want or need anything else. This is actual wealth. If a person can come to the point of satisfaction, and what does that satisfaction mean? In one word, as my friend, godbrother, Dhanadhar Maharaj says, one word describes this satisfaction. Enough. I have enough. Right now, whatever I have, it's enough. And no matter how much more you get, if you don't have that feeling, it won't satisfy you. But if you have an abiding sense in your heart, agreed actually, that I want to do more service for Krishna, then you feel fulfilled, you feel happy within your heart. But you can know for sure that if you try for an upgrade on your own in the material world, it'll be taken away. It'll go wrong some way. They'll revoke your card at some point. They'll change the program. The airline will go out of business. And you go, "What about my million miles?" Says, "Sorry, there is no more company anymore." But if you serve Krishna, even if you lose your life in your next life, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you take up where you left off. Your card is still good. Your bhakti card is still good. Next life after that, no matter where you end up, Bharat Maharaj, he started his devotional service. And he made a little mistake. And in his next life, he took birth as a deer. As Bharat Maharaj, you know, he left as a young man in a very opulent situation to go off and go for the whole thing. I'm going to become fully Krishna conscious. He went off to the wilderness as a king, and he sat down and was doing his meditation every day. He was meditating on Krishna, on Lord Narayan within the sun. Om Diya Sada Paritab. He had his mantra where he was worshipping the Lord and thinking of his form. And he was becoming so advanced that tears were welling up in his eyes when he was thinking about the Lord. And then, one day, sitting there, he saw a deer come to drink water at this tranquil stream that was going by his ashram. And then a lion roared. And the lion's roar has some subtonic sounds that actually put fear in the heart of everyone. You can hear it from miles away. And when the deer heard this, this delicate deer who happened to be pregnant, heard this sound, she panicked and she jumped, tried to jump across the gap of the river, but she didn't make it. And at that time, the deer miscarried and the little fawn came out and fell into the water. The deer clambered up the side of the river and then went into a cave and died. And all this was being shown to Bharat Maharaj as he sat there. And he saw the little deer helpless in the water. So he went and rescued it and brought it back and dried it off and then gave it a little grass. And one day after the next, the deer became attached to him and he became attached to the deer. So much so that he was only feigning meditation after some time. He was sitting there pretending to do his mantras and meditation. He was looking down. Oh, the deer is chewing on my kusha mat. Isn't that cute? Look, little teeth are coming out. Look at that tail. And his meditation went away from Krishna and back into the material realm. And when he left the world in an almost mad state, he was meditating on this little deer. So in his next life, as Krishna says it very clearly in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yang yang bhapi smaran bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever you think about at the time of death, in fact, what's the way Prabhupada puts it? He said, whatever subject matter you're most interested in when you leave your body, what subject matter interests you most right now? Or if you were to be introduced to a kulpa vriksha tree, what is a kulpa vriksha tree? What does it look like? Have you seen one? You've seen one? Where was it? Hare Krishna. People all the time, like Mayapur, Vrindavan, devotees, are like, that's a desire tree. Really? And I see people, they'll be on the parikram, they'll walk around the tree. It's like they'll go out of their way. It's like, that's one right over there. And I always think, what am I going to do if I get under a desire tree? And it's like, what do I actually want? What am I actually thinking? I don't even know what I want. When it comes right down to it, it's like, I'll give you anything you want. You sit under this tree and your desire will be immediately fulfilled. I may intellectualize and say, I want prema bhakti. But if it comes down to the last moment and all that's left is my actual impression of the world and what I'm actually interested in, who knows what that might be? So Krishna says, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever your most prominent feeling is. So Bharat Maharaj, he had forward momentum with his spiritual practice, but he also had this strong feeling for the deer. So in his next life, he became a deer, but he remembered everything. He remembered, I was a king, I was Bharat. I am Bharat, but now I'm in a deer's body. And he didn't panic, but he went back to the Pulashya Ashram where he had started his Ashtanga Yoga practice. And as a little deer, he spent time around all the yogis there. He even took his bath regularly, and he would do his best in that little deer body to continue his practice because his consciousness was intact. In his next life, he became the famous hero Jad Bharat, who imitated a completely retarded person, deaf and dumb, because he didn't want to interact with the world. He wanted to stay internally focused on Krishna throughout his life. And so the Bhagavatam shows how Krishna preserves everything that we gain in the practice of devotional service. But as far as mature life goes, there's no guarantee whatsoever. In fact, there's a guarantee that it will be diminished, it will be lost in due course of time. So we see in the story of Hiranyakashipu the great lesson that the advanced person knows that the real upgrade in life is to develop a sense of pure service to the Lord. And by performing even a tiny bit of pure service, that it is doing service just to please the Lord, even if it seems very simple, this will attract the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is invaluable for every living entity. And the more in our Krishna consciousness movement, which is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we do service to help the Krishna consciousness movement, which includes improving ourselves through very strict practice of bhakti, and then taking some responsibility to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. I was just listening this morning to the Madhya Lila. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada says, then if one does so, one attracts the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then one is promoted in devotional service. Just as he was giving the example, was Srila Prabhupada, about Maharaj Prataparudra. He was at a disadvantage for having the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but after he went out and became a bhangi, he was a king, and this was socially unacceptable what he did. He went out and he swept the ground. I mean, nowadays you may say, what's the big deal? Politicians do these kinds of things all the time. They'll do anything to get a vote. But back then, it was such a strict culture that for the king to put on the dress of a bhangi and come out and sweep the street in front of the Lord's cart, this was a huge thing. It would have been on CNN, the front page scandal. And he did it out of humility that I'm not a king. I'm Das, 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 under Das. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he developed his whole scheme for spreading the holy name of the Lord all over the world, which was the Namhata, he was the first Amway. The Amway imitated Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had a multi-level marketing, how everybody could take to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And he gave different positions to people in the marketplace. His position, he said, I'm the sweeper of the marketplace. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I'm one of the little straws in the boom of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the devotees actually find the real wealth, that I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And by that, they become situated solidly in the Lord's grace. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana pariupasate. Tesham nityabdiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. To those who are so busy doing devotional service that they don't have time to even think about their own maintenance anymore, I'll take care of them. I'll personally take care of these people. And this is the growing faith of the devotee. As a devotee invests more and more time, energy, money, whatever it is, in Krishna's service, that let me advance Krishna's cause somehow or other. He or she begins to see, oh, Krishna is reciprocating. And this begins one's relationship with Krishna. That's how, through the Sankirtan movement, by taking responsibility and giving one's assets into the great yajna pit, which is known as Sankirtan, investing one's energy and whatever one has to expand to the Sankirtan yajna. And one sees, by giving, I grow. The more I give, the more I become complete. The more I surrender to Krishna and take a risk for him, the more he supports me. But if you take to material life and you do everything possible to support yourself, good luck, because it won't work out. It always falls apart in the end, right? Say yes. Yes. Now we'll take some reflections. Anything that you heard that's stuck in your mind, a phrase, an idea, something that you found helpful that you can take with you in your pocket out of here today. And then when you walk out the door, if somebody grabs you by the arm, one of the neighbors perhaps comes up and says, what was that guy talking about in there? I was looking in the window, I saw some guy talking to you. What did he say? What one thing would you tell him?
let me start. I went on the two-week yatra. I was 100K United upgrade. And when I came back, I was on the bottom of the pile because I was no longer 100K. I was regular. So I know really what it means.
They don't recognize you anymore. The next day, it's like, over there, sir.
On January 31st, the United Miles expire.
It expires. Okay. Shinye punye matyalokam vishante. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Through our heart, as we start to pray like anything, we start to feel Paramatma within our heart and the desire of Prabhupada to spread this movement. We have 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya's movement that we have to be on the forefront. We have to be, we're the army.
Thank you for that, you know, such an opportunity. Like, as I mentioned last night, Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of His internal potency. So this is called effective speech. As an example of effective speech, some speech is more effective than others. Agree? Say yes.
Yes.
Let me prove why or how. Say you go into a court of law and you see the judge behind the bench, and the judge is wearing the gown and has a gavel, and there's two bailiffs there protecting the courtroom, and the court is in session. It's obvious that the emblem of the state is there, and it's obviously in an official context. Now, the person who's due for sentencing comes in, and then the judge says, "You're going to jail for 5 years," and then takes the gavel, bang. Is a person obligated to go to jail for 5 years? Yes. And why? Because of the words that the judge just uttered. She could have said other things. She says, "I suspend your sentence." Would the sentence be suspended? Yeah. So now the same judge takes off the robe and on the way home stops at 7-Eleven, gets a Slurpee, and is standing outside on the sidewalk and then sees somebody come and open their door and bang their door into his car and makes a little nick in the car. And then they close the door. So he's watching, and the person walks up and says, "You should go to jail for 5 years." Is the person going to jail? Why not? So this is one instance of proof of effective speech. However, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead says something, it's eternally effective. And in Prabhupada's statement, the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of His internal potency. So this is a great gift. This is a desire tree. When the Lord says, "Do this," if someone anywhere, they can be an insignificant person, they can be a criminal, they can have the worst past in the history of the universe, but if they say, "Oh, the Lord gave an order, I'm going to try to follow it." If someone tries to follow that order, then Prabhupada says, and by this potency, that is referring to the order, one comes to see the Lord face to face. So what you brought up about the opportunity that we have, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just recently said that if you just try to contribute, in fact, he didn't say if you just try to, he said, "You do this. You spread the Sankirtan movement. I order everybody." Kaviraj Goswami writes it like this. He said, "I order every person in the universe to spread the Sankirtan movement." You can look at that and say, okay, I'm going to say Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of God. He said it. I'm going to try it. And as you do that, you'll find that you're now connected to the internal potency of the Lord. And your advancement in devotional service comes from this determination to execute the order. What else? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. There are several points. They
there were talk, but something that stuck to me was yam yam vapi smaran bhava, that we are definitely getting the body or some form in next life, what we are thinking, what the bhava we are developing. And Bharat Maharaj's example is so powerful that he left his kingdom and he went to forest and for his spiritual growth, but he still got attached to something. And we, even though we are trying our best to serve Krishna, we are associating with worldly people, we are attaching, or we are thinking about so many other things. It's very easy to slip on our spiritual life. So I think it's very powerful that we have to be very alert, not attaching other worldly things and keeping our focus on Krishna.
Thank you. Such an important point. And trying to keep one's attention away from something is very difficult. For instance, I would like you all to close your eyes right now. Close your eyes and don't think of a lemon. I've just cut it in two pieces. And don't think about sucking on that lemon either. Is anybody salivating right now? Okay, you can open your eyes, but don't think of a lemon. It's very difficult to not engage the senses with their objects because, as is pointed out by the Hamsa Avatar, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we come out into the world, we come out of the birth channel, there is a way in which our senses are already embedded within the objects of the material world. Embedded. Our mind, which is the organizer of all the senses, is invested in the sense objects. And so to not think of the sense objects is virtually impossible for a living being in this world. However, as Prabhupada points out in the introduction to his Bhagavad Gita as it is, the purpose of the Vedic literatures is to transfer that same attachment to the spiritual world. And so the scriptures themselves are a powerful vehicle through which we can transfer our attention from the sense objects in the material world to the sense objects in the spiritual world. And one very practical way in which to develop one's bhava, and as I mentioned, this is the subject matter that one's most interested in, is to recite at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And if you've tried this practice, which was recommended by Prabhupada, in fact, he gave it as an instruction, and then again, one of those internal potencies. He gave this instruction that all my students should read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, and Prabhupada himself used to chant chapters of Bhagavad Gita. You can hear recordings of it. If you take it upon yourself, a vow, this is a guarantee, to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day without fail, your household will change, the relationships with your friends and family will change in a positive way, and your internal workings will change, the way you think about the world. And as you continue to do it, the Bhagavad Gita verses will reverberate within your consciousness, and then you'll start to develop an affection for them, an attachment. You'll see how each verse is divine, and that it's actually happening in real time. It's not something that was spoken 5,000 years ago, it's something from antiquity. It's actually non-different from the words that are coming from the Paramatma in your heart. And you'll develop an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead who spoke the Bhagavad Gita by taking a vrat, that is to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. From a practical point of view, I wanted to find out how many hours you get here in Sacramento. Approximately, because down in Silicon Valley, we've calculated that we're supposed to get 24 hours in a day. And what do you get up here? 24 and a half? 23 and a half? You get 23 and a half. Okay, but it's still a chance. If you go about it scientifically, this is the way to defeat the mind, because the mind will say, well, I'll do it later, I don't have time right now. But if you're able to integrate such a practice into your daily routine, chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's like a wedge. It's small end of the wedge, enters in easily, and then if you keep applying a little pressure, it opens up a bigger and bigger space. So this is one of the ways in which to defeat the material nature, is to take up the reading of Bhagavad Gita every day. So if you chant the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, just the English, it will take you 14 minutes and 48 seconds. And if you chant the Sanskrit and the English, it'll take you just a little bit longer than that. And if you go back to the 12th or the 15th chapter, it'll take you just 3 or 4 minutes to recite the English. Out of 24 hours, what are some things that you now spend 14 minutes and 48 seconds on regularly during the day that you wouldn't count as devotional service or as an investment even in material life? Can anybody tell me? There's WhatsApp. What are there any things? Do you have it all tightened up so there's nothing? Yes? Watching TV. Okay, so on the TV, there's a lot of channels now. I think there's about 1,000 channels. When I grew up, there were like 2 or 3. And at night, there was one news show called Huntley Brinkley. That was it. And you had to get up and walk across the room and turn the little dial. And then you had to hit the thing, you know, to make sure you could get this. But now, with 1,000 channels, I saw recently there's a show about people buying wedding dresses and the trauma of it. It costs $10,000 to buy one of those things. They really have to think about it. And then they get the wrong one, and the whole family is in shambles, and it's very traumatic, apparently. I didn't know that before. And so are those the kind of things you're talking about, that you could waste 14 minutes and 48 seconds? So you can think about reinvesting. You say, okay, out of this TV time, which is generally wasted, and it takes my consciousness to some far-flung place, I say, why don't you take 14 minutes and 48 seconds and invest it? It's not easy, because it's like, you know, how do you lose weight? It's like, you got to exercise. Well, I don't want to exercise, you know, it's too hard. Just walk around the block one time. Can you do that? No. Then just walk down to the mailbox and come back. Can you do that? No. Just walk down to the end of the stairs and come back. Can you start with that? No. Well, can you stand up every time there's a commercial on the television? It's like, maybe I can do that. Okay, when there's a commercial, you stand up and then sit down. You start somewhere. You have to start. And so in spiritual life too, it's valuable, and people who make spiritual advancement are honored. Why? It's not easy. It doesn't happen by some transference that someone comes and bang, now you're advanced. It's your responsibility because you have free will. And just as I've gotten myself into a jam here in the material world, and I have to take responsibility, we also have to take responsibility to elevate ourselves step by step, inch by inch. And one of the most powerful and highly recommended ways to do that is to recite at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And if the chapter is too long, break it up into thirds. You can do that for the 18th chapter. But take it. Take it as Krishna's extending himself. And if you do that, then you'll find that your life, your spiritual life, will change dramatically. Within a week, you'll notice it. You'll notice that you're a different person. And so, to that end, we formed a club several years ago. Actually, more like 10 or 20 years ago. But more and more members are joining the club now. Now it's an official club called CHAD. CHAD is spelled C-H-A-D, and it stands for Chapter a Day. And anyone can join CHAD by agreeing to recite one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And all you have to do is make the vow, and as soon as you do, your hair will stand on end, because you'll think to yourself, what did I just do? And your spouse will look at you like, you don't have time to do anything right now anyway. How are you going to do? I've seen you. You're not going to do this. And you're going to freak out. And you should freak out, because spiritual life or advancement in any discipline means if you're not on the edge, if you're not freaking out about something, losing sleep, resetting your alarm clock 14 minutes earlier, then you're not making advancement. You have to be on the edge somewhere. And this is one of the places where the biggest payoff in history is, in the Bhagavad Gita, It is the most important book on the planet. There is no other important book. There are millions of other books, but there's nothing that comes close to the Bhagavad Gita. So if you join Chad, you'll also be part of an organization of devotees all over the planet right now who have made the same decision that I'm going to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And they're literally card-carrying members. Do we have the cards? Here's the Chad credit card. This is good also for the United Frequent Flyer Miles. If you go up to the counter, even if you don't have any status at all, you just show them this. It won't work in America, but in India, they'll go for it. Okay, let them have three bags, not two, you know. Just show them this. So, Chad, you write your name here with a Sharpie. That's permanent. And then you write the date that you started. And then you dedicate yourself to chanting one chapter a day. And if you want to join with the others, there's a website. It's called readchad.com. And if you go there, you'll find that there's thousands of other devotees who are together taking this vow and moving forward in their spiritual life. So this is something practical I recommend. You were about to say something, and I think it was very valuable. So please go ahead.
Yeah, Ronald Prabhu sent me a video, and His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj was delivering the message that TV out of the house and Srimad Bhagavatam in. So.
Yes, and this happens very naturally. When you introduce a positive habit, the negative habits tend to diminish. You have to replace. It's not a matter of restriction. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasadehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. You can restrain your senses, but the taste will remain until you get a higher taste. And if you don't get a higher taste, you can't sustain it. Even Vishwamitra Muni, he, after 10,000 years in meditation, as he didn't have the quintessential higher taste of bhakti, he heard ankle bells from Menaka. That's all he heard, just ankle bells. He didn't even see her at first. But that because he was withholding his senses from sense objects after 10,000 years, the ankle bells re-stimulated that relationship he had with the material world, and then he was off. His meditation was finished. So it's absolutely necessary to get a higher taste. And if you move the Bhagavatam into the house and the TV out, you must also read the Bhagavatam. Because if you read the Bhagavatam, then you'll actually get a higher taste. And this is something that can be experienced by everyone. And I'll take this opportunity to introduce another practical point. And that is that when I used to think about Prabhupada's books, I'd feel very intimidated. Because there's a lot of them. And you know, you think about reading the Adi Leela, and there's some purports that are, you know, 20 pages long. Or you think about going all the way through the Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos. And one might think, well, that's impossible. Or it's possible, but maybe later in life, when I'm 75, I'll have time, right? So then I was reading an article by Brian Tracy. He's a self-help person. And in it, he was saying, any daunting task can be accomplished if you break it into small parts. And he was demonstrating how practical this is. Break everything into small parts, things that you can do right now. And then parse it out. So then I thought, Bhagavatam, it's such a momentous task to read all 12 cams of the Bhagavatam, right? So then I thought, okay, let me see how I could break it up. So I asked Srivas Pandit, can you calculate all the pages in the Bhagavatam? And he did. And then we divided it up into different categories. And this is, we now have an app that's good for Apple and for Android that does the same thing. So you can, it's free in the App Store. You can go to BSH page by page, and that's what this original program was on this little card, which is nice also. You can put it above your desk. And on it lists all the Prabhupada's books and then time periods. And then it shows you how many pages you have to complete each day if you want to complete, for instance, the Bhagavatam within various time periods, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to finish the whole thing in 1 month, you have to read 503 pages a day. I don't think that's possible because At Govardhan every year, we assemble a group for Kartik, and we stay in one room. After we finish with our sadhana, taking prasadam, and having some kind of a break during the day, we end up reading an average of 5 hours a day straight from the Bhagavatam. And last year, we vowed to read the whole third canto of the Bhagavatam during that time. We ended up reading all the third and the fourth canto, the whole thing all the way through. And near the end, we had, in order to make that push, we had to do 7 hours a day of hearing. That's out of 24, and you think that's nothing, but actually it was everything. It was all the energy we could pass. So 503 pages a day may be a little difficult, because we were hitting about 200 pages a day. So I'm not sure if 500 is a plus. So 1 month, unless something superhuman happens. But how about 3 months, 168 pages a day, still hard. 6 months, 84 pages. If you dropped everything and you organized your life around it, you might be able to do it, right? She's looking like she's going to do it. I could. She's going, yeah, I like this idea. Okay, so let's make it even more practical. Let's say 1 year, 41 pages a day. That's an investment of about an hour and 15 minutes a day of reading. Is that possible? Just say if it's possible. It's possible. You could do it. You could read, and a lot of people are doing this. Since I introduced the program, once a week, I get a call or an email from somebody saying, Vaish, I just finished the Bhagavatam, or I just finished the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just last week, Nandasutta Prabhu wrote me this ecstatic letter saying, I just finished the whole Bhagavatam. I can't believe it. I did it. And it happens every week, somebody writes in. And then, if you want to make it even 2 years, no harm in that, right? 21 pages a day, half an hour. Or 3 years, 14 pages. Listen, 5 years. That's as low as I'm going to go right now. That's all I can do for you. I check with my manager, and that's all I can do. 5 years. And you get 5 years, all you got to do is 8 pages a day. And people do this, and they finish in 5 years, and you know what? You're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. But if you do 8 pages a day, you're going to be a different person. Your life will be completely changed because you move the Bhagavatam into your life. You can physically move it into your house, but if you move 8 pages into your busy schedule, then you'll be noticed by Krishna. Mataji.
What I was going to say, I'm going to say my commitment.
Oh, now this is powerful. Here comes a vow, it's coming down the line.
I am going to make a commitment based on the inspiration from hearing you to chant and read. I need to chant it so that any living entity can hear as well. And I will read one chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita, but that may take me, let's be realistic, maybe 20 days or 24 days, because it may be a struggle. But then I will continue that with the Srimad Bhagavatam and do a chapter a day. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I've never read.
Okay, give her a hand. I would like to welcome you as an official member of CHAD.
Thank you.
And here's your chart. You can follow this, or you can get it up on your Android or your Apple, what's that called? iPhone. Yeah. Thank you very much. That was powerful. And I didn't pay her to say that. That was pure inspiration. Yes. Okay, and we have Chaitanya Charitamrita sets also. So if you don't have a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas, Shraddha will provide you, because it's available for anybody who wants a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. Oh, of course you have them. But I'm just saying, anybody who doesn't have a set, what is the deal?
Yeah.
Well, I know you have them, but what's the deal?
No, okay. There are 5 devotees who committed to reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, so they are getting 5 sets today.
Okay.
Which she has brought.
Yes.
And we have one extra set. If you are not in the initial five list, we have one extra one.
Is it
if
a you donation committed, you're, they're giving back? She'll happily accept donation, but if you're not inclined or you don't have the money, she'll give you the Chaitanya Charitamrita set. Either way. Either way, because it's important. It's important to have it. If you have it, then you'll read it. Okay, what are the reflections?
One more chat, yes. Testimonial.
Yes.
I'm going to ask somebody to speak.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I joined ISKCON. Like, I started coming to congregation sometime around 2010. And immediately I met Radha Prabhu. And he introduced to the chat in 2010. And since then, I'm regularly reciting or reading the one chapter a day. And I mean, I'm from India, but I never read Bhagavad Gita. And when I completed one whole round, so initially I was following your email where you say, read this chapter, this verse. So when you were reading, you broke up one of the verse, chapter, to half. It somehow didn't comfort me. So I started going like, every Ekadashi, I will change the chapter and keep reading. So I completed the whole book, and there was like full contentment feeling that, okay, at least I did not understand, but I've gone through it. And now, after 7 years, I have passed several like cycles, and still when I complete and read every day, I feel like there is something new every time, all the time. Even though I knew the verses, it still looks like something new. Everything. Like today you mentioned the verse Ananyas Chintayantu Mam. I was thinking differently. You put it in life's perspective. Like Krishna will help in going forward in the transcendental path, not on the something what we want to upgrade. So that is my reflection.
I introduced Chad to him, but I have not been as sincere as him. And you could see the gravity in his speech and what he's realizing.
You know, making a vow, and then let's just say you make a vow and you do it, and then somehow or other you slip from doing your chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. And, you know, you go for a day, a week, a month, a year, and then you have this feeling, oh, darn it, you know, I'm not doing it. And then you go back to it. You know where to go back to. And being balanced in your spiritual life or material life doesn't necessarily mean that you're completely steady at every moment, but it means you know how to pull back to the center. And unless you have that vow, and think of the word, it has like that V in the front. It's like a, you know, wedge you can put in the ground. It holds the tent down. It's like a tent post. It holds your life together. And if you can find these vows that have the great spiritual benefit and you hold on to them, you can keep coming back to that, and that becomes your center in life. And that will carry you across the very dangerous periods of your life where you don't know where to turn, what to do. Krishna will speak to you directly. Keep coming back to the Bhagavad Gita. Ronald, were you going to, you had a point? Oh, dear Prabhu.
You are wrong. The point that you made that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he is a sweeper in the marketplace. I heard this statement a few years back, but 3 weeks back I was again hearing some lecture the same point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that he is a sweeper in the marketplace. So since last 3 weeks I was actually contemplating on this point that what is the significance of a sweeper? If Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that he is a sweeper in the marketplace, so what is the significance of actually a sweeper? I was meditating on this point for last actually 3 weeks, that when we are using the streets we are very really careless and we actually create the mess, leave the mess behind. It's the sweeper who comes and cleans the place. So similarly, the Vaishnava Acharyas or even the devotees who follow in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they come in our life and whatever dirt we accumulate in our consciousness, you know, through the contact with day-to-day life in the form of lust, greed, anger, the Vaishnavas actually come and they sweep that through their association. Mm. So that's a very wonderful point that you
That's very helpful, the way you've extended the metaphor and shown how we are dependent on these spiritual giants, the Acharyas, and that they take the most humble role, but it's the most significant in our lives. Without their guidance, for instance, without Srila Prabhupada's guidance, he made the framework, he gave the shiksha, everything available to us, that's what's holding our society together. Even when I was just recently in Mayapur and attending the GBC meetings, I was thinking, it's definitely an imperfect process, but it's absolutely necessary. It's what's holding our whole society together on a managerial level, that Prabhupada left an ultimate managing authority and clear lines of authority. And without that, as he saw in his own life, the whole spiritual society of the Gaudiya Math fell apart and fragmented. But even with going along, scratching, kicking, biting, whatever it is, to move forward, there's a clear understanding of what the authority structure is. So Prabhupada gave us the spiritual framework. He also gave us the material framework. This is what Acharyas do. They create that space that everybody can enter into and continue on. And they clean up the inefficiencies that we may perpetrate by our own participation in the process. That's very helpful. Thank you very much. I'm going to take 1 second to look at my watch because I don't know what time it is. It's late. We have to go back to ISKCON of Silicon Valley because we're going back for the Sunday program. And before we go, we'd like to sing a bhajan with all of you. And yes, Prabhu. Yes, we want to do the chat. So please get your Bhagavad Gita's out. And also make another product placement here, advertisement. One of my colleagues in the BBT, who's an expert publisher, he's actually the most expert of any of the publishers I know of amongst the GBC, BBT trustees. His name is Brahma Muhurta Prabhu. He's for the North European BBT. And his publications are so well done and pristine. Not only that, he uses green paper, green meaning it's environmentally friendly and everything like that. Recently he created an app, a Bhagavad Gita app. So you may say, what's the difference between this and using the Veda base? It's a big difference. A book app means it's completely self-contained. The whole book is within one app, and therefore it can do a lot more things within the app itself, and it's easy to carry around and keep track of your chad and all your reading. So I recommend this. You can go to the App Store. It's about $5, I think, for this app. But it's highly worth it. So let's chant a chapter from the Bhagavad Gita together. So whatever device you have. What's that? Bhagavad Gita, as it is. There's a couple of fake ones on there. Like other I'll look at it right afterwards and show you exactly which one to go to. Today we're going to recite chapter number 8. Okay? You all ready? Arjuna Vacha Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam Kim Karma Purushottama Adi Bhutam Chikim Proktam Adi Daivam Kim Uchite. Somebody, let's start over and somebody keep track. I'll do it. Of how long it takes us. Would you like to do Sanskrit, English, or would you like to do all Sanskrit and then all English? All Sanskrit, then all English. Okay. Ready? Start over, all Sanskrit, then all English. Arjuna Vacha, Kim Tat Prama, Kim Adhyatmam, Kim Karma, Purushottama, Hari Bhutam, Chikim Proktam, Hari Daivam, Kim Uchite, Hari Yajna Katam Kotra, Dehesmin Madhusudana, Prayana Kale Chakatam, Geyosi Niyatatmavi, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Sabhavo Dhyatma Muchate, Bhuta Bhavo Bhavakaro, Visarga Karma Samjitaha, Adi Bhutam Sharo Bhava, Purushashchari Daivakam, Adi Yagyo Hame Vatra, Dehe Deha Bratambara, Antakale Chama Meva, Smaran Mukva Kalevaram, Yaprayati Samadbhavam, Yati Nasyatra Shangshayaha, Yang Yang Vapi Smaran Bhavam, Tajatyante Kalevaram, Tam Tame Vaite Kaunteya, Sadatat Bhava Bhavitaha, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu, Mamanu Smara Yujacha, Mayarpita Mano Buddhir, Mami Vaishyasya Samshayaha, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, Chetasa Nanya Gamina, Paramam Purusham Divyam, Yati Parthanu Chintayam, Kavim Purana Manushashitaram, Ano Naniyam Samanu Smeredyaha, Sarvasya Dataram Achincharupam, Aditya Vanam Tamasa Parastar, Paryana Kale Manasa Chalena, Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva, Bhuva Madhe Pranam Avesha Samyak, Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam, Yadaksharam Veda Vado Vadanti, Vishanti Yad Yatayo Vitaraga, Yadishanto Brahmacharyam Charanti, Tate Padam Sangrahina Pravakshe, Sarvadwarani Samyamya, Manohridi Nirudyacha, Murdyadhyatmana Pranam, Astato Yogadharadam, Om Itke Kaksharam Brahma, Vyaharan Mam Anusmaran, Yapriyati Tajandeham, Sayati Paramangatim, Ananyacheta Satatam, Yomam Smarati Nityashaha, Tasyaham Sulabha Partha, Nitya Yukta Sayogina, Mam Upetya Punarjanma, Tukalayam Ashashvatam, Napnuvanti Mahatmana, Samsidhim Paramangata, Abhama Bhuvana Loka, Punar Avartinorjuna, Mamu Peta Tukanteya, Punar Janma Navidyate, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, Arhadyad Brahmano Vidu, Ratram Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Ratra Vidojana, Avyakta Vyaktaya Sarva, Pavavatya Haragame, Vatyagame Praliyante, Tatraivabhyakta Samjake, Bhuta Grama Saevayam, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate, Vatyagame Vashaparta, Pavavatya Haragame, Parastasmatu Bhavonyo, Vyakta Vyaktat Sanatanaha, Yasaksarveshu Bhuteshu, Nashyatsu Navinashyasi, Avyakto Share Ityuktas, Tamahu Paramam Gatim, Yam Prapya Nanivartante, Tadhamma Paramam Mama, Purusha Sapara Parta, Bhaktya Labhyastvananyaya, Yasyantastani Bhutani, Yena Sarvam Nidam Tatam, Yatra Kali Tanavratim, Avratim Jaiva Yoginaha, Prayata Yanti Tankalam, Bhakshami Paratarshabha, Agnir Jyotir Ahashukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Rama Brahma Vido Janaha Dhumo Ratristata Krishna Shanmasa Dakshanayanam Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir Yogi Prapya Nivartate Shukla Krishna Kati Yete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyanavratim Anyaya Vartate Punaha Naite Sriti Pata Janam Yogi Muhyati Kanshchana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjuna Vedeshu Yagdeshu Tapasu Chaiva Danesho Yat Punya Palam Pratishtam Eteti Tatsavam Idam Vaditva Yogi Param Stanam Upaiti Chadyam. 11 minutes 13 seconds. And now the English. And one tip on the English is to observe the commas with a slight pause. That way we stay in sync. It's a little harder with English to be in sync than it is with Sanskrit. But if you look at the, follow the punctuation a little bit, then, and neatness does count. So the more in sync we are, the more, more credit you get for the recitation. Arjuna inquired. Oh wait, sorry. We'll start over. Oh, no, that wasn't, that was the time, 11:13. That wasn't 11. See, I didn't even know how to work this thing. Somebody else time it. Somebody time it accurately. It was 6 minutes? Thank you. Lucky we got some brains in here. Okay, so 6 minutes for the Sanskrit. And now let's, we'll take, she's our official timekeeper. What's your name? Swara. Swara, you're from now on, you're our official timekeeper in our yatra, okay? You're hired. Swara. Okay. Tell us how long it takes us to do the English. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the self? What are fruit of activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Who is the Lord of sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudan? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the Dhyatma, the self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruitive activities. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature which is constantly changing is called Adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adiyajna, the Lord of Sacrifice. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this materiality. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and with the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, one establishes himself in yoga. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and it is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God, in the light, at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but does not come back. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when one passes in darkness, he returns. Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered, therefore be always fixed in devotion. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Om Tat Sat. Swara? 7 minutes end? Okay. So the first one was 6 minutes? And what? Can you rewrite these somewhere? Record them in a... We'll keep track, okay? Keep track of all the different chapters. You'll be the one who holds all those numbers, okay? Okay, so approximately 15 minutes, right, for the whole thing? 13 minutes. About 14 minutes if you do the Sanskrit and English. So just a summary of Chad. The requirement to be a member is you chant at least the English of one chapter a day, or the Sanskrit. You can do either one. Or obviously you can do both. And it's not to say don't read all the purports. That's also something that you should do through the be a sage page by page. But if you maintain this vibration of the Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskrit or the English, then you'll find that you'll start to learn the verses. They'll come into your head. One other recommendation, there are different ways to do it. One is that you can do the same chapter over and over again. For instance, if you do the same chapter like chapter 8 for 3 months in a row every day, then you'll start to notice that you're naturally learning all the verses. One of my friends, Chiru, who memorizes a lot of verses, and I talk about this sometimes, and the way he puts it is, it softens them up. So, actually, you kind of know them. But then if you go into one of the verses very carefully, then it'll come very easily to you, because it's already in your subconscious. You've heard the pattern of the verse so many times. And this kind of a way that the verse repeats in your mind when you're walking around doing your daily chores is Krishna's mercy. He's entering into your consciousness through this process. So anybody who'd like to be a Chad member, you can come up and get your card just after we finish today, and then take it home, write your name on it with a Sharpie, and put the date down. You've got a free space. You already got one free day that's already done. Or you can go through the Bhagavad Gita and do, you know, various chapters as you wish, or you can just follow along with all the other people who are doing a certain chapter at a certain time. But one way or another, keep the vibration of the Bhagavad Gita going. You'll notice that 15 minutes a day like this will make a huge difference, and not only in your life, but when your family sees you doing it, then eventually they'll come in and they'll want to do it with you too, and your friends also. And wherever you go, you get on the train, bus, airplane, whatever, and other people will see you doing it and they'll want to get involved. All the flight attendants will come over. It's like, can we join in on this kind of thing? Yes. So we have to go because we have to make it back in time for our program. But just within a short amount of time, Nirkula and I feel like our lives have been transformed just seeing you here. The amount of enthusiasm that you have in this community is practically unparalleled. We go to a lot of different places, but you're such a cohesive group with so much spiritual enthusiasm that I think from this one vantage point of Sacramento, you're poised to really take over the world. I mean, this is the capital, after all, of California, isn't it? Still. And you're put here for a reason. This is by Vastu. We could find out more from Prabhu. But you're probably in one of the most strategically important places in the world, in this capital city, with so much facility. When we were driving down here, I saw the Tower Records on the side of the road, and I remembered how I used to come up here when I was just in my teens. I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement in 1973 when I was 16. And we used to drive up here every other weekend, and I'd go to that Tower Records. It brought back a pang of remembrance, just remembering being here. And we go to the Air Force bases also, especially on payday, and distribute Bhagavatams and things like that. So I have a deep feeling for this place. And now somehow Krishna sent all of you to be in this place. So just a few things. Hear and chant together. Because this is the power of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and it's the way we improve in spiritual life. Just delegate time if you can. Also, engage in loving exchanges. Give gifts to the other devotees. Express appreciation for devotees. Encourage them. Listen to them and give prasadam and receive prasadam. All these things are loving exchanges. Also, keep yourself aligned with some authorized service, so you feel you're making it, you can measure how you're making advancement and expanding the Krishna consciousness movement, and be a kind friend to all living entities. These three things. Actually, that was four, but the last one I said is kind of a subpart of the third one. You get what I mean. We're deeply grateful, even for this short amount of time that we have, we'll remember it for many days to come, and we'll be counting the days until we can come back. In fact, we're looking to see how we can fly here regularly rather than drive, because it might help. Find one way or another that we can get up here quickly so that we can have your association. Thank you very much. Gopremanande Nitai Gora Haribo 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 Nitai Gora Haribo Tai Gora Haribo 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Vanchakopadurvishcha kripasanabhivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Well, I have a quick announcement to make.
Some of you attended the class last night where Prabhu was talking about two things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. One is chant the holy name, and the second one is distribute it to others. If you're wondering how to distribute it to others, Prabhu has been doing book distribution for 40 years, and he's documented all the secrets in this book. And this is published by BBT. The cost for today is $15. And every page you read, you'll get, there's revelation there. So please come and check the book out and take one home. And if you already have one and you know somebody else who's interested in book distribution, I'm sure they'll like to get this as a gift to them.
We would like to thank Vaishushika Prabhu and Nirukula Mataji for visiting our Sacramento region area and to our home, and making this whole 2 days of spiritual environment, giving us, all of us, encouragement to read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So thank you, and we wish that you come anytime. Our home is always there for you. So please come again. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Do you have trouble finding time to brush your teeth?
Prabhuji, here.
She was 11 years old and she was asking, do you have time to find to brush your teeth? No. Then you should not have problem for this.
This makes a powerful yatra too. Yeah. Everybody in the yatra is doing a chapter about me today. And of course, also following the four regular principles and chanting good 16 rounds. You add this to it, and the whole yatra will take off like a rocket.
So the next is the prasadam. So all the devotees will take prasadam from garage and then come and sit here. If anyone wants to sit in the garage, they can sit here. Hare
Krishna. Jai Prabhu ki.
Jai.
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 Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us online. I will resume at 3 p.m. from ISKCON of Silicon Valley. Hare Krishna.
Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Hey! Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman.